Before we get started with this episode, I want to share something that I think could be a game changer for your classroom. Now, as a former special education teacher, one of the things I struggled with the most was creating activities, resources, and curriculum for my classroom. I did not realize that that was part of my job. I have spent the last 10 years developing the Autism Helper curriculum based on what was missing from my former classroom. And now we finally have a way for school districts to purchase this curriculum directly for their teachers. The Autism Helper Curriculum Access is an annual subscription that provides access to all levels and subjects of our curriculum. This curriculum is rooted in evidence-based practices, it's aligned to the standards, and we just completed our pilot case study showing the overall effectiveness. To learn more about how your district can get curriculum access, head over to theautismhelper.com and click Curriculum Access. Hi, I'm Sasha Long, special ed teacher and board certified behavior analyst. Welcome to the Autism Helper podcast. I'm here to explore different strategies to improve the lives of individuals with autism. Welcome back to the Autism Helper podcast. Today we've got a pretty niche topic, but I actually think this comes up a lot. And I was asked this multiple times in 1 week, and I was like, you know what? I gotta do a podcast episode on this. What should you do when students are ripping or tearing apart or destroying their schedules? What do we do in this situation? I get the frustration here. We're told we need schedules, and then you set up the schedules and it gets torn up. So what happens then is we at some point stop making schedules. But the problem with that approach is that our students are missing out on the benefits that a schedule gives. So let's rewind a minute. Why is everyone saying we need schedules? Students need schedules because they need an accessible and understandable way to see what is coming in their day. You and I thrive and function on schedules, whether they are visual schedules like a written out Google Calendar, your digital calendar, your planner, whatever, or a verbal schedule. Your kid telling you, hey, pick me up late from school today. Your husband telling you, hey, we've got something to do this evening. Those are all verbal schedule prompts. Now, many of our learners struggle with receptive language processing. They struggle to comprehend so much verbal language. So when we rely solely on a verbal schedule, a verbal agenda of, hey, Johnny, today we're going to do some puzzles, then we're going to do math, then we're going to do coloring, then we get to go to the playground. That amount of language cannot always be processed in an effective way, which is why you see everywhere people talk about visual schedules. I talk about visual schedules nonstop. Last week I did a 4-hour session on schedules. You guys, that's how much I love talking about it. Now, when I say visual schedules, people sometimes jump to thinking a picture schedule with movable pieces and Velcro and board maker. And they're like, everyone needs a visual schedule like that? No, absolutely not. But I will stand by that every student needs a visual schedule. Visuals means pictures, photos, text, color coding, any type of way to visually show what is coming. Again, you and I use visual schedules all the time. We need to move away from just that verbal schedule from a receptive language standpoint and from a prompt fading standpoint. The reason visual prompts are at the top of the prompt hierarchy, meaning they have the highest rate of generalization, the highest amount of independence, they're the least intrusive, is because visual prompts can be used without anyone else. We don't have to be there for a student to use a visual prompt or a visual schedule. For a student to use a verbal schedule, we have to be there because we're the ones giving the verbal agenda, right? So we know why visual schedules are important. Now, what are the benefits of using a visual schedule that's accessible and understandable for a student? Knowing what is coming is really helpful for students that struggle with non-preferred activities, struggle with transitions, struggle with knowing when reinforcement is coming. These are all natural things we want to know. What's going on in our day? This can help prevent problem behaviors in such a huge way and build essential executive functions. So we've done the sales pitch on schedules, but what happens when you set up schedules and students rip them apart? What do we do then? So I've got kind of four areas of strategies. The first one is going to be an FBA, a functional behavior assessment. Maybe you don't like this first suggestion, but ripping up schedules is part of a bigger response class of behaviors. It's to me some type of escape maintained behavior likely that we're getting out of or away from some type of demand. And I want to know in a bigger way, what is evoking that response? Why is that child trying to get away from the expectations, the demands of the classroom? There could be an attention component, but let's see what's going on. Is there an escape component? Is it attention? And getting that FBA will give us a good idea of function, which leads us to replacement behaviors. We can't really fix this issue if we don't have a replacement behavior first off, which is why I start with FBA. If it is escape, then we want to look at teaching kids ways to ask for a break. If it is attention, do we have better ways to ask for attention? So we need to start there. The next area is kind of a global solution as well. Typically, students that I see ripping, tearing schedules likely have some type of negative learning history with school and with schedule use. Because typically in a school setting, what's on a schedule? Probably things they don't want to do, right? Work, independent activities, settings in the school they don't like gym or the cafeteria. Schedules typically aren't iPad, snack, Chromebook. Like, it's not all fun stuff. So we have to go back to establishing rapport and becoming the chocolate chip cookie. I have a whole episode on Be the Chocolate Chip Cookie. And that saying really is to establish yourself and your classroom as a reinforcer. Because if you accomplish this, then you're building up cooperation, compliance, independence. So we want to change that learning history. That child has a negative learning history with schedules, with school. So we're going to build up rapport. We're going to get to know them. We're going to get to know their interests. We're going to have the things they like in the classroom. We're going to talk about the topics they want to talk about. We are making ourselves a chocolate chip cookie. We are making our classroom a chocolate chip cookie before we even get super into schedules. Now, this leads us to number three. The way we're going to use schedules at first for kids that are very averse with using schedules is going to be a little different than our goal on how we want to use them. So the goal is that we want the balance of our students' day to be on work and learning and things that will progress their academic and communication skills. And then we, of course, have time for breaks and leisure activities and reinforcement. We need the balance of that. I have been getting Factor meals delivered for probably a few years now, and when I first discovered these, they were really a game changer. They are fresh meals that get delivered right to my house, pop them in the microwave, and 2 minutes later, I have a healthy, protein-packed lunch all ready to go. I'm like, where were these when I was in the classroom? I like how there's so many different options, so I never get bored, and that I'm eating healthy without having to do a whole ton of cooking. If you are looking to eat healthier, to do takeout less, or to just have something taken off of your plate mentally, having your lunches or dinners set up ready to go, I highly suggest checking out Factor. It's what I have tried, and I really think you would love it too. Head over to factormeals.com/Sasha50off and use code Sasha50off to get 50% off your first Factor box. If you're ready to try this, this is such a great deal. Get 50% off your first Factor box plus free breakfast for a year. Love that. Make healthy easier with Factor. We got to get there eventually. So the schedule is probably tied to not typically wanting to do what's on the schedule. So after we've worked on establishing rapport, or while we're working on establishing rapport, we're going to fade in these schedules with only preferred activities. Only preferred activities. And you're like, Sasha, no, I can't. We have to do work, whatever. We'll get there. We're going to meet them where they're at. we're going to work on the skill of following a schedule. Sometimes you can't work on the skill of following a schedule while also working on the skill of doing math, doing reading, doing independent work. Those are two hard things at once. So let's get the skill of following the schedule down first. This is the same advice I give teachers at the start of the year. When you have a new classroom setup, new centers, you are teaching the routine and the process and the schedule, and the work at those centers is going to be easy and fun. Because the goal right now is not to do the work at the center, it's to learn how to transition. And that's the perspective you want to take with this type of student. My goal right now is to get them to follow a schedule, to transition between activities. The activities they're transitioning between could be two highly preferred activities. And I know we're going to inevitably have some non-preferred things. Maybe they don't like going to lunch and you have to go to lunch. But we're going to start to build up that schedule tolerance, transition tolerance within the classroom with preferred activities. So if I know Johnny loves magnet tiles, loves watching YouTube, loves playing in the sensory beans bin, and loves doing this one certain coloring activity I have, guess what's on his schedule? Yep, those four things. I'm gonna take a photo of it. We're gonna talk about logistics within our last step. But I'm gonna really build up with just two to three things following that schedule, getting that successful. Let's not rip up our YouTube picture and our sensory bin picture. Let's learn that these schedules show us what we're doing. Once we build up tolerance to that and we reduce problem behaviors related to destroying the schedule, then we can add in some, what I would say is a neutral activity. Something that's not aversive, something that's not a trigger, something that's not very far from their current skill set. Maybe it's going on an errand in the school. Maybe it's having just a break without a certain activity. Maybe it is a sensory activity. Something that's just kind of neutral. We're going to start fading those in slowly. And then once we get successful there, then we're going to fade in some small amount of expectations, learning, work demands. Especially if you've done this FBA and there is an escape component, we're going to go slow here. It's going to feel painful. It's going to feel like, oh my God, Sasha, this process is taking forever. But you know what? In the time of this taking forever, we've reduced problem behaviors. We've increased positive skills, independence, transitioning, following a schedule. Now we're ready for that. We weren't ready for that before. And we're going to slowly build in those unpreferred and work demand activities around preferred activities and reinforcement, but slowly add that in. Then last, let's talk logistics. This is where we want to think about how we're going to physically set up the schedule for a student who's prone to ripping this. This is the last set of strategies for a reason, because I don't want you to start here. I don't want you to think about, hey, how can I make this indestructible so he can't rip it and this and that. That's fine to do that along with other interventions. If we're just thinking about the durability of the schedule and ways to kind of be a little creative and problem solving so he can't rip it up, we're not really getting to the root of the problem. So the root of the problem is doing an FBA, looking at rapport, building up schedule and demand tolerance. That's getting to the root of the problem. Using 5mm laminating and Gorilla sticky tape is not getting to the root of the problem. And you might get yourself stuck in a power struggle here if you've started with this. Like, hey, I'm going to tape the schedules and I'm going to do this, because they're just going to try even harder to rip them up. So we want to address the root, but we know that this behavior is in their learning history. So we do want to make it more effortful to rip up the schedule, because we want the student to go with the lower effort response. And right now, before you do any of these, the lower effort response is tearing up the schedule and chilling out, right? But we eventually want the lower effort response to be doing what's on the schedule, because it's more work to rip it up and fall out. And it's more appealing to do what's on the schedule because we've worked in the preferred items and the reinforcement. But we know we have this in the learning history, so we do want to make it more difficult. So a few logistical things. 5mm laminating is your best friend. If you know, you know. Now, if you have a school-based laminator, I'd recommend doing a donor's choose grant or spending your own money on a personal laminator and getting the 5mm thickness laminating pages. This is very different than laminating things in a big laminator. It is really hard to rip 5 mil. Now, don't laminate cardstock with 5 mil because it's going to give a little air bubble, make it easier to peel. Regular paper in 5 mil, that's the way to do it. I also love Gorilla Brand sticky clear tape, like packing tape, but Gorilla Brand. And what I've done, especially at therapeutic schools where we have students with a lot of high frequency kind of destructive behaviors, is we've taken a schedule that's laminated on 5 mil, we've made it photo-based, color-coded, added in all the prompts to make it really accessible, and then we've Gorilla sticky tape, we've taped it on the desk or the table. So they're going to use a dry erase marker to check off each thing. There's no movable piece. It's just, hey, this is what we're doing. Here's 3 or 4 things. We're going to go through this, and it's stuck to the table. They can't rip it off. It's really hard to pull off that sticky tape with that Gorilla Brand. Another thing I've seen recently is taking a piece of plexiglass. Someone told me about this recently in a training, and putting 4 little screws in each corner of the desk, putting the plexiglass on top, and sliding the schedule in and out underneath. Again, you can dry it with dry erase markers. Any of these strategies we want to use in combination with strategies that get to the root of the issue. But that could be a great way to make that static, that schedule static, and remove the prompt for ripping it up. So making it look new, making it look different, and making it very secure and sturdy so it's just more effortful to destroy. All right, so those are our 4 strategies. We're going to look at an FBA, develop rapport, become that chalk chip cookie, ease in our schedules by starting with preferred items, adding in neutral items, and then bringing in work demands. And last, look at logistics, like that heavy-duty laminating or taping it to the table. If you have students that are engaging in behaviors similar to this, a lot of these same strategies could use as well. If they're ripping up their work, if they're ripping up their social stories or visuals, it's the same idea. We want to get to the root of the issue of these destructive behaviors, figure out what's going on, give a replacement behavior, and improve that environment overall. Thanks for listening to the Autism Helper podcast. If you liked what you heard and want to hear more, hit subscribe. It would mean a lot to me if you left some feedback. Whether I'm working one-on-one with a student, doing a podcast like this one, or presenting for a PD, my goal is always to provide as much value as I can. So your feedback really helps me make sure I'm doing just that. If you have other topics you'd like me to cover, leave in the feedback or message me on social media. You can follow me at The Autism Helper on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest, or visit my website, theautismhelper.com. Thanks again for listening. Having the right resources for your classroom is essential to making sure your classroom is running smoothly. At the Autism Helper Shop, we have all of the resources you need to make sure you have the behavior, communication, and curriculum supports for your students. Within our shop, we have adapted books, task cards, resources aligned to the VBMAP and the ABLES, behavior plan flowcharts, data sheets, curriculum. Everything you need, whether you are an early childhood teacher or a high school teacher, we have all of the resources that will meet those students' needs. So head over to shop.theautismhelper.com to check out all of our resources.